Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Monday on the program, we discussed Vermont's plan to divert recyclables, yard waste, and organic materials from the landfill. But what if products were designed to avoid the landfill altogether? What if they were created to be reused? Architect William McDonough is a 1973 graduate of Dartmouth College. He explored that concept in the 2002 book Cradle to Cradle, which he co-wrote with Michael Braungart. And they take the idea further in a new book, The Upcycle, Beyond Sustainability, Designing for Abundance. William McDonough will be speaking about these ideas Thursday afternoon at Dartmouth College. I spoke with him yesterday and asked him to explain the premise of upcycling.
What we've done with the upcycle is move to the next level and say, like Archimedes, who said that if you give me a lever, a fulcrum, and a place to stand, I could move the earth. We look at cradle to cradle as a fulcrum. It's a place to stand. If things are safe in biology or safe in technology, then everything's a nutrient. If that's a frame condition, then the lever that we apply to it can be applied from where we stand, in your case, Vermont. And we can start to leverage the world in propitious ways using those ideas. And so we end up eliminating the concept of waste. We restore biodiversity. We treat each other with fairness. We have clean water, clean energy. All these kinds of things start to manifest. And so The Upcycle is a book of evocations about how to take the science, the economics, the social equity issues, the technology opportunities, and reframe the design as the signals of intention for humans to make the world better instead of worse.
Explain what you mean by that with an example. And let's take your book, because you put right on the back cover of your book that this copy of the book is a demonstration of the practice of upcycling.
This book is the first book in history designed to be safe for ecological human health, specifically even the inks and everything else. The book is safely designed for combustion even. So if you, don't like it that much and you want to burn it, go ahead. It's safe. But the idea is you could actually have a book that was so safe you could boil it and serve it for porridge if you had a fiber deficiency. Why not? Why shouldn't we have safe, healthy things?
But you're also talking about other concepts in here of in the manufacturing process itself, making sure that you're not just making an object that then can get reused in a certain way, but that even in the process itself, there is good coming out of that.
Just the design of this book is the signal of that intention. As such, paper manufacturers improved their process by removing chemicals that were untoward and adding new ones that are actually beneficial. The inks are assessed all the way down to the parts per million, parts per billion. We did it with the largest printer in America so that the largest printer in America now knows how to make a biological nutrient book instead of just a toxic magazine. So the world got better because this book got printed, we hope.
And what about other manufacturers? I mean, how do you convince manufacturers that there's something in it for them to make sure that their process is good and their products are beneficial to the earth?
Well, I think most people are well-meaning. I think what we've found is the most potent tool to achieve these ends is simply money. We make products that are cost-effective and make money for the people who make them and benefit their customers, and we find that's the most compelling argument, and that's what businesses want to do. They want to grow, and when businesses are simply trying to be less bad all the time, which most of the eco-movement businesses are, they'll say we've reduced our badness by something. We've used less paper, less weight, less poison, but it's still poison, and it's still whatever, and it's just less. And so what we're pointing out and did in Cradle to Cradle is that being less bad is not being good. It's just being bad, but less so. The upcycle is really about things getting better. And so we have protocols for how you can manage that and how you can turn it into prosperity. So it changes the question of capitalism from simply how much can I get for how little I give to how much can I give for all that I get.
So how would you apply this concept? Just this morning, I got an email from my cell phone company saying, hey, you're eligible for an upgrade. Don't you want a new gadget? And you think about these gadgets and everything in the context of what you've been speaking about. Not only is this a gadget that you throw away, and get a new one because there's a newer model that's more exciting. But we look at a lot of the problems in manufacturing, problems with sweatshop labor in some of these gadgets. We look at e-waste and the problems that that's causing in terms of both just waste in general, but also leaching. How do we apply the upcycle to something like that that is such a consumer-driven demand at this point as well?
Well, it's quite interesting to look at the history of the relationship of people to things. But today, you know, this stuff is becoming more and more ephemeral. And instead of bemoaning it, we're going to need to honor it for what it is. Otherwise, we watch and wring our hands and complain while the world destroys itself around us. So if we look at it positively, you can think some of these are ephemera. So for many of these things, take your cell phone. We're designing electronics to come apart when you finish with them, that we can actually use adhesives that we can have let go at certain temperatures. So you can actually make the whole thing fall apart and recover all the materials and minerals and so on. So these things should all be looked at as fungible assets for future generations that are clean and healthy. And then you can celebrate the fact that you got a new phone every 3 years if they all go back and become new cell phones and other electronics without destroying the biosphere and creating jobs and coherent systems that treat people fairly and are handled safely and all those things that you were wringing your hands about.
How far away are we from your vision?
We're quite close. I mean, I'm now working on new packaging. I work with some of the biggest companies in the world. I work with the Chinese and Chinese government, and we're developing protocols with their ministries for the future of making things. It's obviously, you know, unbelievable chaos in the world right now in terms of these issues. We're seeing everything from the worst, you know, to the best. But I just got off the phone with one of the world's largest chemical companies today talking about a whole new set of chemistries for packaging because it's gone berserk. I mean, right now everybody's putting things in these pouches, and the pouches are all seven layers of indistinct plastics with toxic inks and adhesives, and it's insane. And I just the other day saw vegan kale chips, certified organic, gluten-free, in a package that doesn't have a recycling symbol on it because you could never recycle it. It's seven types of plastic and metallized, and it weighs more than the kale chips. And yet it's a, you know, quote, green, good-for-you product, really. And when it says contents, it doesn't mention the package itself, which weighs more than the kale chips. So we've hit the wall here. This is insane. We've hit insane. And so people, when they hit a wall, they start to think. And people are thinking. So it's time. That's for sure.
That's William McDonough, author of the new book, The Upcycle. He'll be speaking at Dartmouth College tomorrow afternoon at 4 as part of the Leading Voices in Energy, Sustainability, and Security lecture series. You can find more details at vpr.net.